last Thursday. After coming back from a funeral visitation, I decided to stop in at Sam's Club and pick up a couple of items. I parked, and it was immediately obvious that there was a woman who was distracted in the middle of Sam's parking lot. And that is, if you've been by there, down by the Walmart in Dunlap, it's a fairly busy area. There was a woman standing in the middle of the parking lot, glued to her smartphone, not paying attention to traffic, not paying any attention to anything but her smartphone. Well, being somewhat curious, I walked up to her and I said, "Excuse me." Now, this lady was probably mid-40s. And I said, "Excuse me, are you playing Pokemon?" Yes, I am. I found it interesting that here is a woman in a public spot, not in her teens, not in her 20s, who would be willing to risk her life to play a game. As I let that event unfold and began to think about it, I realized that we have multiple illustrations in life, and I'm not just picking on that game, but multiple illustrations in life of how people, especially in this life in America, are distracted. The hearts and the minds are really misdirected in a lot of different ways. Last Sunday, if you were here, we talked about the heart. We used the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, as some refer to them, to talk about the heart. The word heart occurs more than 800 times in most English Bibles, so it is impossible to deal with all those places or many of those places in one lesson. So the plan was, and the plan is for today, to deal with the heart from Joshua to Malachi. I'm not going to be reading any passage, but you do have all the verses that I'm going to be using on the sheet, if you have that. So we're going to flow through many verses quickly. In the book of Joshua, the first book after we finish up with Deuteronomy, we have in Joshua 5 verse 1, information about melted hearts. The text, to give you a little bit of the context, there were some rulers. They had heard how God had dried up the Jordan River. And as the hearts of these rulers learned about what the God of the Bible did, the Bible says their hearts, the inner core of who they were, they melted. As you look at that passage, it reminds us that when it comes to the heart of man, it can be filled with fear. It can be overtaken with fear. Our physical heart can be filled with fear, but also that spiritual heart can be filled with fear. As you look at Joshua 5 verse 1, the reason for the fear in the heart is given. That is, people had exposure to God. The lesson from that is, if we come into contact with God, and all of us will at one point, maybe before death, it may be after death, but if we come into contact with God, we're exposed to the power of His Word. Or if we refuse the power of that Word, we turn from God in this life. When we come into contact with Him after we enter into eternity, people at that point will have a heart that melts. Now, I suspect there are some people who don't have much faith in God. And they think that if they ever do somehow meet up with God, they will be able to negotiate with God. They'll be able to argue with God and maybe out-argue God. But in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says that if our heart is not right with God, it will melt. It will be a heart filled with fear, terror, and we will be powerless to do anything. To avoid having that kind of heart, to avoid having that fearful, melting heart, the Bible says that we need to make sure that we have a right heart with God as we go through life. The way to have that right heart is explained a little bit later in the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24, the last chapter, Joshua 24 verse 23 talks about inclining, leaning, moving our heart towards God. Very early in life, each person begins to incline their heart towards someone or something. Our heart may be inclined towards self. We may be a very selfish person, and our heart is directed inwardly. We might be, on the other hand, a very giving person, a person who wants to help others, a person who has strong feelings when it comes to benevolence and aiding others, so our heart is directed outward. It's also possible, as we think about the heart, to turn it to evil. Heart may be directed to religion, perhaps false religion, or the one way that God has authorized. If in life, we have an existence where our heart is not right, and this is true physically and spiritually, we have some problems. And that's why we're not going to sing it again today, but that's why when we ended the service last week, we asked the question in that song, "Is thy heart right with God?" There is no more important question in this life. Is our heart right with God? Well, sometimes our heart is not right. You may remember from the next Bible book, the book of Judges, Judges chapter 16, we have some information about Samson. And there was, the Bible says, a woman that Samson really loved. Her name was Delilah. If you were to read through Judges 16, your Bible may not have the word pouting, but you have a pouting woman in Judges 16. Delilah was a pouter. Delilah said to Samson, how long are you going to say that you love me, but you're not going to share some information? I want to know the secret of your great strength. Samson was keeping it from her, and Delilah pouted. Delilah said to Samson, your heart is not right with me. I like that expression, and it certainly fits in well with this lesson. Not all hearts are right. Sometimes that's true in the physical realm. Go to a doctor, and the doctor says, your heart's not right. You have a murmur. There may be a hole in your heart. You have a heart issue. It's also true in the spiritual realm. A heart may not be right. Some lack a right heart because they never, going back to that earlier reference, they never incline their heart to God. If that's not done, there's going to be a heart problem. Others decide that they're going to incline their heart to God, and they do for a period of time. But after that heart has been inclined or directed to God for a time, they withdraw. They pull their heart back. The heart does not stay inclined to God. Our heart will melt. As what we began with, Joshua 5 verse 1, if it is not inclined to God and does not stay directed to God. If we're willing to take our heart, mold it, shape it, direct it, incline it in the right way. The Bible says that we can have not only a good heart, but our heart can be strengthened. In the book of Judges, chapter 19, verse 5, we specifically there read about a strengthened heart. I don't know about you, maybe you've had this experience once, more than once, maybe you've never had the experience. But one of the most memorable sights in my life, having visited some countries outside the U.S., having seen a variety of things, one of the most memorable sights in my life is to see the face of a person who has been newly baptized. The person who has just been baptized may be dead broke. The person who has just been immersed may be in pain. The person who has just been baptized may have the weight of the world on their shoulders. But as they break forth from the waters of baptism, there is absolute joy. There is a feeling of absolute refreshment. There is at that moment a heart which has been strengthened. The Bible says it is possible to have a strengthened heart. If we're a Christian, if we know who we are, if we know what we are, if we know where we are headed, we should have a strengthened heart. That's important. That's useful, especially in our day and time. It's sad, I never thought I would live to see the day when there would be some people who would wake up and they would wonder if today they are more male than female. There are people who wake up and they don't feel like they've got the strength to face another day. There are people who are terrified, literally, to get out of bed because they know what's going to face them later in the day. The Bible says if we will incline that heart to God that we have, we can have that strengthened heart. We can have the ability to face a day, whatever may come. When it comes to an assembly such as this, when we leave the assembly, we should have a strengthened heart. When we read God's word, maybe in an assembly such as this, maybe it's in a private assembly, we should have from that study of Scripture a strengthened heart. When we learn about the work of God in other places, what fellow Christians are doing, we should have a strengthened heart. When we look at the hearts in the world, they're fickle. The hearts in the world, they're unstable. But the heart of a Christian should be rock solid. Oh, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have a grieved heart at times. The Bible says it's possible to have a grieved heart, 1 Samuel 1, verse 8. But even in that state of grief, there can be a strengthened heart. The child of God, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, can rejoice in the heart. A heart which is filled with joy and a strong heart. In the Old Testament, if you were to read through it, study through it, and you start searching for information about the heart, you would begin to find, I think, some verses which are especially memorable. One of those texts would be in the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. It is there that we are told it is possible to have a heart like God has. Imagine God looking up on us and saying, your heart is like my heart. Your heart, God says, has interests which correspond to my interests. Your desires are in harmony with my desires. Your will harmonizes with my will. The goals in your heart are in full alignment with my goals. How closely would we say that our heart resembles or follows the heart of God? Each day, as one more day passes, as we get older and older, hopefully we strive to have a heart which is more and more like the heart of God. However we choose to live, God gives us the free will to determine what's going to be in our heart, what it's going to be like. And the Bible warns us, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, that God knows what's in the heart. If we have no desire to have a heart like God, and that is a possible choice, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, God knows. You know what the Bible says? 1 Samuel 17, verse 28, that there are people who have naughty hearts. We don't hear the word naughty too often. It's in the Bible. And the Bible says, the scripture tells us that we can have a naughty heart. And that type of heart leads somewhere. Naughty hearts lead to the melted hearts that we learned about from Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. The hearts, when they come into contact with God, whether that's His Word or whether that will be an encounter with God after we leave this life, those hearts melt. There's absolute fear and dread in the hearts. If we seek to have the right kind of heart, and it's possible, there will be times, there will be occasions when our heart aches. Another fairly well-known event is in the book of 1 Samuel, this time 1 Samuel chapter 24. David, at various times in his life, things were good. There were other times in David's life when things were not so good. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 24, we are told that David was being pursued by Saul. 3,000 people, 3,000 choice or elite soldiers were being used by Saul. Saul went into an area, and he was in there in a private way. David was able to cut off part of Saul's kingly robe. David did not allow his men to kill Saul. That was an option, but David's unwillingness to do that allowed Saul to live. All David did was go in and remove a little part of Saul's clothing. Well, after that happened, the Bible tells us that David's conscience, and the conscience is related to the heart, David's conscience began to bother him about what he had done to Saul. So when you think about 1 Samuel chapter 24, we learn that the heart is involved with the conscience. It also, this chapter indicates that our heart can be changed. We may be at one point in favor of an activity, and the conscience, the heart, initially tells us that later that is something we should not have done or we should avoid. 1 Samuel 24, verse 5 says, David's heart smote him. His heart hurt. He began to reflect on what he did, and he thought, that is not how I should have treated the king. If we are going to have a heart like God's, and that is possible, there needs to be times where our heart smites us. That is, our hearts need to become sensitive to sin. I hope that you've seen this as Christians get older and older and hopefully wiser and wiser. But if you talk to some Christians who have been Christians for a while, and they're Christians who have tried to pay attention to the heart, invariably I think that you would find if someone is willing to open up a little bit about their life, they will tell you that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, these are some things that we did. These are some things that we said. These are some things that we thought. These were some places where we went. And as the years have gone by, our heart has changed. Our heart in many ways has become softer. Our heart in many ways has become sensitive. And there were some things that we did, some things that we sought, some places that we went that we would no longer do. There are some things that we no longer approve of. Now, whether or not others are going to continue to do those things, that's going to be a judgment that they make. But the heart can smite us as we get older and older, as it did with David, 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 5. And that's because our heart is ideally becoming more and more like God, less and less like the world. That heart is becoming stronger and stronger. It's being strengthened on a regular basis. The heart is such an important part of who we are. In the Bible, it is associated with all kinds of actions. For example, we can use our heart to despise others. Maybe we've done that. Maybe we've seen someone else who has used the inner core of who they are, their heart, to despise somebody else. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. We're familiar with this one, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 20. The Bible says that it's possible to take things to heart. Most of us have probably done that. Maybe as a young person. Someone made a promise to us. Someone told us something. Maybe as an adult, and we took that to heart. Maybe it was true, maybe it was not. It is possible, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 9 and 12, to have a heart which is wise and understanding. How we treasure that kind of heart in others, and hopefully in ourselves. We can have 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 26, a yearning heart. We don't hear the word yearn used too often. But yearn, that strong desire. Sometimes a person can yearn for what's right and good. Sometimes a person may yearn for what's really bad. If there is a yearning for what's evil, a heart can be turned away from what's right. 1 Kings 11, verse 2. But God says we need to have that tender heart. 2 Kings 22, verse 19. That is inclined, as we saw earlier, to God. There is that yearning to follow God, to know God, and do His will. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 19 talks about setting the heart. This is also another important passage. I think a lot of people have the idea, maybe it's with kids, maybe it's with their own life. They have the idea that their heart is just going to somehow magically end up being attuned to God and following God as at some point in the future. If we're going to find God, if we're going to love God, if we're going to have a right heart for God, it is not an accidental experience. Some things in life are almost involuntary. We may not have to do anything. Just give it enough time, given the right circumstances, some things almost happen. It is not the way with the heart. If we want the right kind of heart, it's going to require work, effort. There's going to need to be some reconstruction when it comes to our physical heart sometimes, but certainly in the spiritual realm. That heart, the devil wants to destroy. He wants to twist and reshape into a heart that's evil. But the people of God, they are the people of God because they've decided that they're going to make the right choices about the heart. Ezra, chapter 7, verse 10, the text says about him, he set his heart. He trained his heart. He took his heart. And the Bible says he set his heart to seek the law of Jehovah. I want to know God's law and I want to do it. That's how it works. If we're going to have that heart which pleases God, it's because we put in the work for it. We've got to be willing to set our heart in the right course and pursue it, regardless of what others say. We choose the right heart, even though we know the majority will not side with us. We know, or we should know, that we're probably going to lose some friends along the way because they have their hearts set somewhere else. If we don't have the right heart, the psalmist warns us in Psalm 70, verse 10, we will not be saved. In Psalm 7:10, the text says, God saves the upright in heart. I want to be saved. God says, you want to be saved? You've got to have the right heart. What kind of heart, God? It has to be an upright heart. Without that, we will be lost. Having the wrong kind of heart destroys and condemns. The right kind of heart saves. We know in the physical realm that bad hearts kill people. People die every day because of bad hearts. People die every day in the spiritual realm because of bad hearts. When you think about the word heart, maybe one of the most famous of all the verses about the heart is Psalm 14, verse 1. In that passage, you may think, well, that sounds familiar to me, but I just can't put the words to it. Well, it's there, the fool, the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A lot of times people will turn to Psalm 14, verse 1 and say, well, there's atheism in the Bible. Well, that might be going a little past or beyond what the original author meant. If there's a verse about atheism, I don't think that Psalm 14, verse 1 is it. The heart there, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The thought there seems to be, the person acts as if there is no God. The person decides, I'm going to live my way in such a way where my heart doesn't matter. I'm going to direct it in the way that I want. And if we do that, the Bible says we're a fool. We live our lives in a way which is meaningless, pointless. We choose the most destructive path possible. You see, our heart is going to be a major factor in determining whether or not we spend eternity in heaven or in hell. It's no wonder then a little bit later in the same book, Psalm 19, verse 14, the Bible joins the word heart with meditation. Our hearts meditate. Our hearts reflect. Our hearts are directed to someone or something. Going back to where we started, remember Pokemon? The news is literally filled with information about the minds of people who are focused on this game. I'll give you three examples. One fellow from New York borrowed a friend's car, crashed it. That story came out this morning. You want to know why I crashed your friend's car? Pokemon. There were two men, maybe you saw this a few days ago, in California. They fell off a 90-foot bluff or cliff. You want to guess the reason why? Pokemon. There is also this week, or was a report this week, about some people who were robbed. They were out there, I'm not sure exactly where this was, but they were out there playing the game, and they were so focused on it. Some robbers came up and thought, well, these would be some easy people to rob. Their heart, their mind is so focused on this game, we can knock them off, and everything's going to be okay. The heart, the mind, it can be distracted. People can be directed in all kinds of directions, and not that Pokemon is necessarily a bad game. I enjoy playing some games as well. Not necessarily that one, but people can spend their time in a lot of different ways. But the mind, the heart, can be so directed, and the devil is trying to take that mind and reshape it, shift it into places that God says are not the right place. When our heart is right, there are some great benefits for us. One of those benefits was expressed by the psalmist in Psalm 27, verse 3. He says, no fear. If the heart is right, no fear, or at least very little fear. And we get that right heart, the Bible says, by taking the law of God and putting it into the heart. A lot of times people will put almost anything into the heart of their mind except the Word of God. But the Bible says you take Psalm 37, verse 31, you take the law of God, and you instill that, you fill it full when it comes to the heart. The heart, when it's right, righteousness is going to be there, Psalm 40, verse 10. And as that heart is filled with what's right, as it is immersed in the Word of God, you know what the Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 10? You have a clean heart. Another passage, Psalm 73, verse 1, says the heart is going to be pure. God wants us to fix or establish. He wants us to center our hearts on Him. Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. And then it gives a reason. Keep your heart, protect your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. If our heart becomes fouled or corrupted, it's going to taint virtually every other aspect of our life. We see that time and time again. The devil wants perverseness in the heart. Proverbs 6, verse 14. Don't let him do that to it. Continually bind what's right in the heart. Proverbs 6, 21. Foolishness is in the heart early in life. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 15, foolishness is in the heart of the child. Drive it out. Some don't. And in later years, some allows that foolishness to come back. The heart can go so many directions. You know, the heart is so important. The Bible even associates it with alcohol. In Proverbs 23, verse 33, the Bible says that alcohol can cause the heart to say strange things. Lots of things in life can affect the heart. And then, as far as the heart, the power of it, it can be deceived. Isaiah spoke about this in Isaiah 44, verse 20, but so did Jeremiah in Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah said this, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. He said, above all things, think about all the things out there. And he says, out of all the things in life, the heart is the most deceitful of all. What a stunning statement in the Bible. Out of all the things that can mislead, out of all the things that can misdirect, out of all the things that can foul us up in life, Jeremiah said, the heart is the most deceitful of all. And that's right. There are scores, tens of thousands of people who are going through life right now, and they think their heart is just fine. They're being deceived. There are people who believe they have a heart for God, and they've got a heart for spiritual things, but it's not according to the way that God has described. And then there's some people, they've taken their heart, and they have turned it inwardly. They're thinking about what pleases them. They're thinking about, how can I best be served by others and perhaps involved with evil? We may not have mentioned it before. I don't think we did. And it may not be something that's mentioned very often. But do you know that the very last verse in the Old Testament talks about the heart? When God ended the Old Testament, when God wanted to give the final words before the New Testament came along, He says, I'm going to talk about the heart. I find that to be an amazing fact. But you'll find that in your Bible. The verse would be Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. And here's what the text says. And He shall turn. Something God says needs to be reshaped, turned. And He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Then He uses that word heart a second time. And the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. God says the heart is important. When my son comes into the world, there's going to be someone, John the Baptist, who is going to start working with the hearts of people to turn those hearts from what's wrong to what's right. The most important question that anyone will ever ask us in this life is your heart right with God? Last week, if you were here, we ended our service with that invitation song, 2-6. We're not going to do that today. We're going to end with 280. And that's a related thought. Is it well with my soul? Is it well with our soul? Because our heart is right with God. We know the condition of our heart. if it's not right with God, if it's not well with our soul, God says we have at least one more chance to make it right, to fix it. And that's now, as we stand and sing the selected song.